Welcome to season 3 of Conversations with Coaches. This is a stakeholder-centered coaching production where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. I'm Brandon Murgard, your host for the season. This season, we go deep into our case study library to discuss the real-life challenges of leaders with the coaches who help them succeed. As an added bonus, we're giving away the latest installment of our coach case study library, which includes case study summaries, transcripts of each episode, and ways you can connect with the guest. Get your copy today at mgscc.net/case-studies. Today, we take a deep dive into Aaron Wheeler's coaching journey with a nonprofit focused on delivering child services. Aaron shares the challenges and insights from coaching a team committed to making a difference, but facing internal communication barriers and alignment issues. Join us as we explore the lessons learned from this engagement and the strategies for fostering a cohesive, effective leadership team.
So the client, they were brought to me by a coach that wanted to partner with the Pay It Forward program. So she wanted to bring this really big organization. It was a nonprofit that served children in the community in a very powerful way. And so whenever she brought them forward, it was a really big yes for all parties in regards to the Pay It Forward program's whole premise is donating coaching to the amazing people that work in nonprofits that are really serving their community. And that's just exactly what that organization was doing.
And this coach that got in touch with you, did they know you previously? Was this someone that they just knew of the good work you were doing with the Pay It Forward program? How did that relationship come to be?
So I was introduced to that coach. I think I met them once. One time, it was a great conversation. It was short, though. I think this was just a really good opportunity for the Pay It Forward program and for her to also get an opportunity to really dive deep and see what SCC is fully about with other coaches that have done it a little more than she had.
And when you got started, were they very clear on what they needed and where coaching fit? Or was it sort of, you know, we need better leadership, we're not sure how, but we have heard that you're the man who can potentially help us?
It was not clear. No, it was not clear at all. So whenever I walked, when I went in, I think what they really wanted to do was they're service-based people. Everything is about the end goal, and that's the kids. So they said, okay, we haven't had coaching before. I think having a coach come in and actually work with us, at the end of the day, us getting better in any way makes us better for the kids. And so the people that we were going to coach, it was the whole C-suite executive team. So it was 7 people in total. And they were all energetic to actually do something that at the end of the day will serve their real mission, the kids. So it was, like I said, this was a yes from all sides on the outside.
Mm-hmm. On the outside. Okay. So there's a story here that I hope I can help unpack. You know, when you set the stage a bit, how many leaders are in this cohort who are getting coached?
Okay, so it was the C-suite executive team. There's 7 leaders that were going to be coached. The idea was to go in and I would give a coach for each one of those leaders, a different coach. They would have their own. They would have their own goal. And we would set them up with the 360 and do the whole SCC process. So kind of just the structure of what happened. They came in. I was super excited about the opportunity. I called in the Avengers. So I called in some coaches that I thought were absolutely amazing. They're great at what they do. And they're very knowledgeable about the SCC process. So we called them in, the Avengers assembled, and then we went for the kickoff meeting. I did the kickoff meeting with all of these executives in the room. They were really excited. The kickoff meeting it set the stage for what they could expect. We had the buy-in piece was there, really setting the value was there. and also just going through the process. So when we did it at the time, everyone was really excited, and we moved into deploying those coaches to then meet each one of the leaders and get the opportunity to really start and really dive into their journey, their individual journeys.
Okay. We have a 7-person executive team, very enthusiastic so far. You've got 7 coaches, one working with each leader. And I should clarify, I assume you're working with one leader. So you brought 6 other coaches, correct?
6 other coaches. That's it.
Okay. And you know, if you were to summarize, everyone's going to work on one thing that's going to come out in the 360, but what was the overall goal of the team? Like, was there a team goal, or were they just focused on general leadership?
I would say that is a phenomenal question. So they were focused on general leadership. In hindsight, a team goal would have been a very powerful thing for them to implement. Cause as you know, a team goal helps for team accountability. Everyone gets to have that check-in. They can really see what each other's doing, and they're moving as a unit, and that trickles out to their individual goals too. In this particular situation, they didn't have a team goal. They had individual goals, and they kind of just went their separate directions, really enthusiastic to make things happen. And I think that is the start of where all of my excitement, enthusiasm, and passion started to go into the other direction. So have you ever seen the cartoon where there's a person that he shuts a door, and behind that door is a room filling with water? And then he's holding the door, and all of a sudden these little holes start poking through. And then put one hand here and you cover a hole. You put another hand here, you cover another one. In 2 seconds, you're out of hands, feet, toes, and fingers, and you're using your forehead and shirt and everything else that you can. That was kind of what happened in this situation. At some point, everything was touching a hole, and then it just overtook us, and it led to what ultimately would end up being a failure for this project. And really what we thought we could achieve together. People did do great things here. I don't want to diminish that by any means. There was hard work that was put in by some of the executives and all of the coaches. And I really don't want to diminish the work that they put. At the grand scheme of things, we did have an understanding that all 7 of these executives would finish. They would all have a plus one or above, and we could show measurable change for all of them. And since we didn't achieve that, I would say that it was a failure.
I love your storytelling, Aaron. You're foreshadowing, you're teeing this up. I am just right on the edge of my seat. Walk us through some of these holes that started to poke through and what that did to the overall engagement.
So the holes that started to poke through, it was actually the very first question that you heard, not the very first, one of the questions you just asked a second ago, which was, whenever looking at this engagement, did they have a team goal or did they just have their individual goals? The first thing was the accountability wasn't there because they weren't really communicating with each other. There was no team accountability. There was no real follow-up with each other or the CEO to ensure that things were moving smoothly, and that if they weren't, that we could get it back on track quickly. That was one of the first holes that we had. So having a conversation with the CEO, trying to make sure that we can recorrect that and see if we can build some type of accountability for the team as we move forward. The other piece was the coaches were having a hard time completing the 360. And Brandon, as you know, the 360 is the first part. That's the very beginning. That's where we really formulate an understanding of how they're seen by the people around them, and then also how they perceive themselves. It's very interesting to ask someone, where do you think your development goal should be? And then actually after the 360, seeing if it matches. We could not really get an opportunity to finalize those 360s. There were half of the people that we weren't hearing back from. It took a long time for every person to get a chance to do that and really get their 360s back. That was a big second hole that popped up.
Aaron, can I jump in and ask, when we talk about a 360, are we talking about like behavioral interviews? Are you doing a digital survey? Okay, yes. So the one of the challenges was getting everybody together to, I mean, getting everyone scheduled to have an interview. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the scheduling, the third, since we're there, the third was communication. So communication was an issue for their culture. That wasn't one or two people. It was a commonality not to hear back from people or not to get a reply on emails or anything like that. So if we're doing a 360 to reach out and do behavioral interviews for 8 people, 10 people, and you're only hearing back from 4, that really slows things down. And the momentum within the coach and coachee's process also starts to slow down too. Because momentum is a big factor in the beginning stages, because this hasn't built up any habits yet. It's still brand new to the people that are involved, the leaders that are actually doing the work. So that was an issue that popped up and really created some issues and problems as well. So we had the fact that there was not really accountability from the top. There was communication problems. The 360 didn't really move as smoothly as we would hope. The fact that a lot of people, I don't believe, understood the value of coaching. I don't know how many times a lot of the people that are watching this have donated coaching versus actually selling coaching. When you sell coaching, people look at it as, my company is investing in me. This is a big thing, and I want to make sure I can do the best that I can. When you donate coaching, it can be a bit different, and you have to be very careful on how you actually showcase the value of what coaching is. I did not do a good job at that. That's one of the places where I failed my team in making sure that they understood the value. Another place where I failed the team was I didn't set up. I had check-ins for our coaching team, but I didn't have check-ins one-on-one with each coach to ensure that they're getting the support that they need. Because as we're here, it's one thing to be able to speak publicly in a group and say, this is what's happening, this is where things are failing, whatever it is. It's very different when you're one-on-one because you feel more comfortable to let certain things out. I failed my team in that part too. I didn't set that space so I could have a full understanding and grasp of what was actually happening for all of these coaches. And one last piece. It sounds like there's 1,000 things. there's a lot here. there's a lot here. I really hope that I would have done this better. One of the last things is that I did it in waves. So let's say there were 3 coaches that went that were deployed first, which means 3 of those executives went first. The 3 leaders that we chose to go first were the people that were the most hesitant and that had the most reservations. So instead of creating champions, we were trying to convince the people that didn't necessarily see the value in the coaching to begin with. And that stalled things too. There are so many pieces to this that I would have changed. And there are a lot of ways that I think that I could have done much better in setting our team up for success and also setting up this organization for success that I really didn't do for this one.
Well, Aaron, something that I so appreciate about working with you, and maybe I should just directly address all of our audience here. As coaches, it is so, so easy to come up and say, here's our successes. And you'll hear in this season, there's 20 episodes. How many people are sitting down and saying, here's where I dropped the ball. Here's where I failed the client or the other coaches. Aaron's one of the very, very few people who will completely own these gaps and never let them happen again. And I think that's something that I so appreciate about you is your ability to articulate where something fell through, the piece that you feel that you owned, and then also sharing with everyone here today what they can do to make sure that that problem doesn't reoccur. So, you know, rewinding just a wee bit, you've said that it's important to articulate the benefits of coaching. Were they not clear on that before they reached out to you, or do you feel that you should have made a stronger case from that reinforced? What's your perspective that they had about the value of coaching?
I think I should have made a stronger case. I did it in the team setting, and I drove in the vision of where the CEO wanted to take this, kind of got some ideas from them on what the benefits could be of it. I think it would have been another value add to have a touch point where I dove in with each one of these leaders and kind of set the stage for them individually, where they could have spoken up and felt comfortable to say, hey, maybe I don't understand this, or hey, I don't really see the value of this aspect of coaching. Why does it affect me? I can see where it might affect my partner over here, or this person over here, but how does it really add for me personally? If I would have done that and done that one extra touch point for all seven of them, I think they would have seen the value a little better. I also don't believe they understood how much of an investment organizations put in to bring coaches in for their leadership. I did no effort at all on saying this is generally how much coaching costs. And we're here because we really want to serve you all, because you're serving so many other people and we want to give back. This is our chance to serve you. So let us come in and really do this together to give you something powerful, just like you do for so many people around you. I didn't do a very good job at setting the value piece, the value component.
Okay, let's come back to some stats and look a little bit towards the end. You've got seven leaders who go through this, you plus six other coaches, one each. Did everyone finish the program?
They did not. We were less than 50%. We had three people that finished the program and four that did not. So those that did, it took longer for them to still get to the finish line than we thought. So even with those that finished, it really was a pulling effort for some of it. And then whenever they really caught on to, okay, this is a powerful thing, I can really do a lot of justice for myself and this organization if I dive into it. Then they finally did, and they had a great result. But it was really a pulling effort at first instead of a guiding effort, which is what we're supposed to generally do. So yeah, we went 3 for 7. Those three, they averaged around a 2.1 in their mini survey scores. The particular client that I worked with, I think he had a 2.2 was his mini survey score. He did very well and had a lot of unfortunate events that were the cause of his hesitance. He had a couple of people that passed away. A lot of things that happen in life, as you know, that's hard to realign in this space after things like that happen. And I'm sure other people had a lot of other things too that culminated in the ultimate failure of this project.
Well, that's one of the strengths I see you bringing to engagements, is really focusing on those habits to sit down and say, like, you're going to have a crisis. Something's going to happen. That happens every year to all of us. Every 1 or 2 years, we all have some pretty significant crises. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Let's pre-plan that, and let's establish the habits that you can fall back on when that happens, so that those you're serving don't get left out because of something that has happened to you. And it sounds like the person you were working with, 2.2, is a great score. And for those of you who are listening at home, who are tuning in at the gym or on your morning commute, the mini survey is asking questions such as, what changes have you seen in this leader's overall effectiveness on a -3 to +3 scale, where let's say a +1 is, yeah, this person's gotten better. 2 is, I really recognize the improvement in this person. And 3 is, this is a totally different person. So getting that 2.2 is a very impressive score, especially seeing what's happening with others. So you said it was a polling exercise. Would you say at some point with this client, when they did realize the power of coaching and the habits, that they started to get themselves into gear, or was it pulling right up to the very final point of the finish line?
He started to get himself into gear. I really think the biggest thing that played into that were all of those unfortunate events. And at that time, I think showing up as a person that was empathetic to the situation was something that he really needed. So during some of those times where there was a lot happening in his life and he had just lost some people, saying, like, are you okay? How do you feel? Like, where is your brain at the moment? Like, how can I help you or be there for you? Is there anything that you need just in general in life? Because this is a tough thing that just happened. And really being a human for a minute and like stepping back and doing that for him, I think is really what built the real big amount of trust that we ended up having. And after that, it was, okay, I'm starting to see this thing because the trust is there too. I trust you that you're implementing something that's going to be powerful for me. Let me go ahead and step into it. And a lot of times also when things happen in life, it's really good to have a process to take your mind off of things. So you can dive into work, you can dive into anything else that you want to. For him, it really served him to dive into work. And then as he was already there, to also add the second layer of development to help take his mind off of some of the hardships that had happened in life. And he really took it and he owned it. And I am very proud of him for how he showed up. He showed up in a very powerful way, even during difficulty.
How about these other ones that didn't finish? You've got four of the leaders that did they just fizzle out. Did they put a stick in the ground and say, you know, I'm cooked? You know, here's the white flag. What did that look like?
It was a little bit of both of those things. Some people never really got in contact. So they would talk once, it'd be a month. They would send an email. They wouldn't answer for a couple of weeks. And then they finally would. They would set up a meeting, wouldn't show up. It was a lot in that regard. So the communication was a big failure for some. And then on others, I think stuck the stake in the ground. They said, it's been too long. We've been doing this and are not doing it, but we've been trying to set up meetings, trying to do the 360, haven't heard back from people, trying to do all of this, and the momentum's gone. And I'm just, you know, I have a lot going on. There's a ton happening in my job. I'm busy. Everybody's busy, but then the busy term came up and they just kind of walked away from it. That's really where I think the support system would have been better. If I would have put in place a team goal, and that would have been something they saw the value in from the start, and we're having these monthly check-in meetings and everybody's throwing out the things that are hard for them, but we're still doing it together and really finding the silver lining in that. It's hard. At the end of the day, once you put in all this hard work, will this actually make things easier 6 months down the line? It's going to add a little bit extra work now, but once you start moving this train that you call like your development, once you actually start putting in the work, will it actually ease things up? Will you uplift and empower some of the people around you to actually be better and this make you better too at the same time? If that was in place, I think it would have been a very different outcome.
How has this engagement shaped you as a coach? Like, what are the key learnings that you're taking away from this for yourself?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So as you heard, there are 1,000 holes. So I have 1,000 key learnings that I have. One of them is have the tough conversation quick. Do it very quickly. If you can do it fast, that means you can stop it before the snowball really compounds and gets bigger. There's something that Jathan Janoff created. It's called the No Fear Confrontation. And it's where you clearly and succinctly define the issue, and then you do a coach-like question that opens it up to them to where they can now start to tell you what's going on and what's happening, and you can create a collaborative answer together. That is a very key tool that coaches can use, including myself, to quickly just go up and address the problem when it arises so that you can really ensure that you can realign fast.
What else? What other big learnings did you have?
I would say one of the biggest things, I've heard it. This is where everyone that has mentored me is going to shame me. I'm sorry to all of you. I'm sorry. So it's picking the right client is key. Success is in picking the people that are ready. I've heard that so much. It is very different whenever you see someone that is like, I would love to work with them. You kind of have these glasses on, like I have now, that block out all of the things that might have defined that they weren't ready yet. Because I don't think that we could have never done this process with them. I think we could have. It was just they had to be in the right mindset and place, prepared for what the demands are to actually come in and make change as a team. So picking the right client is a big takeaway for me. By gauging their readiness, not just their enthusiasm, is a really powerful thing. And I kind of leaned into the enthusiasm, but not really gauged, are they truly ready? Do they see the value? Are they understanding what's really needed and how this is going to move the needle? And really got the time, even though everyone is busy, want to commit the time necessary to actually move forward and create change. So picking the correct client is a big one. And I would also say communication. Communication is key. Without communication, we cannot really have a successful coaching engagement, one-on-one or as a team. I think it gets even worse if you're at the team level and there's a lot of people playing in the same area. So communication is key, really taking a moment to see, is communication an issue in the culture? If it is, will this strategy be the best way to approach things for them? Are they ready yet, or do they need to address communication before we move into all of these different intricate issues? That could have been the team goal, and that could have been the first step that they moved to. The last thing I would say is being flexible. That's something that I really learned too. Our process has 5 steps. It's very linear. It doesn't take a lot of time for people to do it. It does take commitment. It does take a real understanding of what's going on and how you want to be better and keeping your action steps top of mind. At the same time, it does bode for flexibility. Pieces like the 360. If we're stumbling and we're stuck and we've got 5 people and we're looking for 15, which is a lot, by the way, don't do 15, but we're looking for 15, throwing out a survey to get the rest of those in, or going around and saying, hey, how about I show up and I get a chance to see how you work within your organization, shadow you in a couple of meetings, things like that. While I'm here, how about I go and meet up with a couple of people that are on the 360 list that I didn't get a chance to speak with? Sometimes you get to be in person for some of your clients. It's just finding flexibility to figure out how to make things work, not just define why they're not.
Something that you do so different than others is really shoulder the burden of responsibility in these cases. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. As a gift to the audience, what I'd like to do is zoom into a very crucial point you made earlier, which is that enthusiasm is a poor predictor of performance.
Yes.
For the audience who's listening today, what can they do differently about their client selection process to avoid falling into the pitfall of having the goggles that really do blind out all of the risk factors and make sure that they are picking the right clients?
Yes. I would say the first, do a needs assessment. I think a needs assessment would have really helped. They had an understanding of what they wanted. I don't know how many people added to that idea. Actually diving in and seeing what some of the other pieces that their culture is missing that they would like to have. What are some of the pitfalls they commonly stumble across? What are anything else that could have really given information in on the culture of the organization and their readiness to actually dive into coaching? Have they ever been coached before? If not, that does tell you that there's going to be a little bit more ground setting that you're going to have because they're not used to that process. It's something new to them. I would say the executive commitment would be a big one. Having a conversation with the CEO in this instance and saying, this is where you want to go, and I understand this is also going to have a level of commitment from your side on having conversations with people, addressing if they have any issues or concerns, supporting them in any way you can, even if it's a book that says, I know your goal is delegation. I actually have a very good book that I can give to you. That shows that your support is there, that you're watching, that you want them to be better. You want to ensure that they're actually succeeding in this process. You're being present. So really understanding that there is an expectation for what you need for them to be successful and having that conversation with the CEO or whoever is supporting your initiative is a big one. And let's see, I would say the last piece for readiness. Do each one of these leaders, if you're doing multiple, I'll say one for this. If you have one leader, do they have a good grasp as to what this is going to do for them at the end? Have you gone through and you actually did a conversation around, okay, if you get really good at this, and I mean really good, and you spend 12 months working on this particular goal, we can use, what can we use? Communication in this instance. What would it do for you if you got very good at communication? And that level's not enough. You need to go into that like 3 or 4 times. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, if you have those key points that you just said, what does that do for you whenever you come to work? Does that make things easier? Does that free up your time so that you can do X, Y, Z? Like really dive into the value. So if people see the value and how it serves them, they are way more excited and ready to move forward.
Aaron, you're a great coach, a great friend, and an even better human being. How can our listeners get in touch with you, follow your story, or just see the good work that you're doing?
Oh, okay. So I would say email me. Anyone that wants to have a conversation, email me. So my email address is aaronwheeler.coaching@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me at my website. It's aaron-wheeler.com. Aaron-wheeler.com. Either one is perfectly fine. And I would love to have a conversation, even if it's just to say hello. I also am doing a moment where I want to build community. So I'm trying to build community so that this SCC group of all of these amazing coaches have opportunities to be uplifted and empowered to build strong businesses and just deliver your gift and what you're very talented at to as many organizations and people as possible. So there are a couple of things that I'm doing to ensure that as well. One of them is a partnership with Mitchell Levy to create a program for a lot of the SCC coaches. If you're interested in that, then we can talk about that later too. But if there's any knowledge you have, please share it with somebody else that you know. I think building this community and really giving back just makes us more strong together.
Aaron offered deep insights into the complexities of coaching leadership teams in the nonprofit sector. Through the discussion, we learned about the pivotal role of communication, alignment, and shared goals in driving team success. Inspired by Aaron's experiences, we hope you're encouraged to apply these learnings to enhance your own leadership approach. Remember, all the case studies of the season are available for download at mgscc.net/case-studies. That's mgscc.net/case-studies. The link is also in the episode description. And if you'd like to better understand the foundations of leveraging stakeholders and measuring results in your coaching, then join the free training program, Foundations of Stakeholder-Centered Coaching, where we share the philosophies and frameworks that guarantee improved leadership in 12 months or less. You can register for the free course at mgscc.net/foundations-course. That's mgscc.net/foundations-course. Until next time, This has been another episode of Conversations with Coaches by Stakeholder Center Coaching, where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. Thank you for joining this conversation, and stay tuned for more stories of leadership transformation.